we are his dear children. He purchased us by his blood so that he could have intimacy and fellowship with us. And the gateway to pure, unhindered intimacy is what Mike was just talking about, is that place of sonship. It's recognizing that he loves you. And there's nothing that can change that, because his love was so great. Y'all, I'm sure y'all know this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I want you to say this differently. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son. Oh, for God so loved me, he gave his Son. Can y'all say that with me? Let's personalize it a second. Because sometimes we read stuff and we're like, oh, that's great for the person next to me, you know. But I don't know about me. I don't know if he could love me. I don't know if he could forgive me. But we need to personalize this and recognize the moment you personalize the gospel is the moment the gospel transforms your life. Amen? So let's say this together. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, so that as I believe in him, I will not perish, but I have everlasting life. Amen? Amen. So I was actually in worship. So a lot of times when I come to these things, I have only a sense through prayer of what I'm actually going to talk about. Because, you know, Paul talks about it that we are not, so yeah, you can have a seat. We are not sufficient in and of ourselves, but the Holy Spirit's the one that makes us sufficient ministers of this new covenant, because this is a ministry of grace. So what I'm hoping to do today is I'm just going to talk what the Lord has put on my heart and just share what's on my heart, and then we're going to go deep. Y'all want to see heaven touch earth tonight? All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit of how that happens. Amen? He said, I want you to talk about the mantle of revival. Now, I'm going to do a It's the first commandment. Yeah, can you do that? Come on. It's the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Matthew 22:37. I want to say the first point to a mantle of revival is understanding that he is the first commandment, that his love passes and surpasses everything else. Does that make sense? That the intimacy and knowing the love of God is the gateway to revival. How many of y'all know what a mantle is? Raise your hand. When I say mantle, does that sound like gibberish to you? Or do you know what I mean? Raise your hand if you understand. Okay, so everybody in here looks like there's a consensus. So I'm just going to put this right here. And this is my mantle, okay? This is what I feel God is going to release tonight. Is this too weird? It feels weird, but it's all good. So it was this lesson in my life that changed everything. I grew up in the church. You know, I knew the Sunday school hymns. I knew the Bible lessons. I knew the stories. But there was what I just talked about a second ago, there was something that was missing. And it was that personal connection. It was that personal understanding of his love for me. And that it doesn't matter what I stepped into. It doesn't matter who I thought I was. What he said trumped everything else. Amen? And so I grew up in that context. And as I continued in that life, I was just so content with, hey, I'm going to heaven one day. And that was my only understanding. I understood that, hey, I'm going to heaven one day, so I got to live the best that I can do right now. I need to, you know, do the Christian things. I need to study, you know, devotions, all this kinds of stuff. But there was still something missing. And it wasn't until an encounter back in 2017 when I said, God, if this is all there is to Christianity, there's got to be more. I was a children's pastor for years at that time, and I had started to backslide. After a season of really seeking God, all of a sudden it seemed like I started to go the opposite way. And I'm like, what is happening? I don't understand. And then I was driving home from work one day. I was an electrician before this. And he just breathed on my heart and he said, just surrender. Just surrender. I feel the presence of Jesus right now. And as I just began to say, God, I just surrender my life. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll do whatever you want me to do. God, I just want you. I want you to anoint my life, influence my life, send my life for you. And it was in that moment, and I, now mind you, I knew nothing about none of this. I didn't know nothing about no baptism, the Holy Spirit, fire, God, whatever, you know, like he was saying this morning, whatever you call it, tongues, I knew nothing. I was ignorant to all that stuff. And this presence, holy presence, comes into my car, and I just feel like a hot hand go into my belly, and I just feel it filling with living water. I know that's what that was now, you know. And he just began to touch my life with a peace that was indescribable. And something lit inside of me in that moment. And here's why that took place. I died. I said, God, I can't do it anymore. I can't do this Christian life anymore in my own strength. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to keep from sinning. I don't know how to walk out what you've said in my word. Every time I look at your word, it judges me because I'm not what it says. Does anybody else have that? And then I realized something. I was never meant to. In that moment, I surrendered my life and I gave everything and I said, whatever it takes, God, I just want you. And it was that single-hearted, single-eyed devotion that empowered the Holy Spirit to come inside my car and baptize my little life. And ever since then, I've been set on fire for the gospel. And it wasn't even from a desire to preach or do anything. It was just, I need more of him. I need, what does this Christian life mean? Is it just another religion? Is it just another set of rules? And I realized this wasn't even a set of rules. It was guidelines to relationship. No other God tells you he loves you. No other God died on the cross for you. No other God raised from the dead 3 days later and said, hey, come up here with me. Sit at my right hand and rule and reign with me. Did you know we can do that right now? It says in Romans chapter 5, we rule and reign in this life through the grace of God. So what is this grace of God? Well, that's what I learned about in my car that day. As I surrendered my life and I gave up what I thought this life was, he came in and taught me what it is. He showed me what eternal life really is. So John 17, verse 1. If y'all have your Bibles, you can turn to it. If not, you can just listen. So this is his last discourse before he'd gone to the cross. And we just actually finished, we taught through this John 13 through 17 at our church up in Northern Virginia not too long ago, because we felt it was so important to understand Jesus' last words to his disciples before he went to the cross, because it was setting up. It was a transitionary word to his disciples that, hey, I'm going to the cross. The old covenant is ending. I'm fulfilling the law and the prophets, and I'm going to come back in 3 days, and I'm going to set up my kingdom. And I'm going to empower you as my church to then, you know, it's kingdom now, not yet. I'm not saying that everything's already happened. Don't hear that. But he said, I'm going to set up my kingdom, and my kingdom's going to be in my church. And guess who's the church? Every one of you. So guess where the kingdom is? Jesus said to his disciples and those he preached to, he said, don't look here nor there. The kingdom is within you. Say, the kingdom's in me. Come on, say a little louder. Kingdom's in me. So he was talking about to his disciples that, hey, I'm about to go, and it's good that I go, because another is going to come after me. And he's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to teach you. He's going to convict you. He's going to show you what I've done. He's going to take the things I've taught you, bring it back to your remembrance, and help you to understand what I was talking about all this time. You're like, what is he saying? You know how many times the disciples were like, what is Jesus saying? He got to pull them aside and say, hey, that was French to me, man. Can you explain that? And he would describe it. But as you know, there was still something that was missing, because up until the cross, it still wasn't getting in them. They were seeing it. They were observing. They were experiencing. Jesus was sowing a lot of seed. Have you ever been around somebody where you've just been sowing seed and it feels like nothing's changing? Well, wait, because harvest is coming. Because Paul said, one sows, another waters, and another reaps. The word of God shall germinate. When you sow a seed, God is faithful to that seed. Amen? So those, I feel like there's somebody in here who needs to hear that. You've been praying for your children. You've been praying for your family. Well, you've been sowing seeds. You've been investing. And if it's a delay, we owe the world an answer to prayer, and I promise you. And when you're partnering with the heart of God for somebody else, that prayer is a yes. It's already in here. It says, go therefore. that prayer, as you begin to pray out God's heart for that person, that seed is sown in the Spirit. You are investing in their eternity. And I heard Bill Johnson say this, if it hasn't happened immediately, it means it's just gaining interest. That makes sense? Y'all understand what I'm saying here? Y'all with me? Love never fails. You sow a seed in love, it'll last for eternity. I promise you that. I don't even know where am I at? But Jesus, oh yeah, that's right, that's where I was. Thank you, Lord. I love when I get help. But no, he was, it didn't look like he was getting in the disciples. But then, what happened, he was sowing seed. And then from the moment the Holy Spirit came in them in the upper room, and in the time that Jesus breathed on them, he awakened the truth that was sown. And then they became the representation of what was sown inside of them. Because the Peter from before the cross is totally different from the Peter in Acts chapter 2, preaching and 3,000 get saved. That's a big change. Well, how'd it happen so quick? Seeds. There are seeds of destiny in your life that God is waiting for the right moment to awaken. And it's going to happen in an encounter. What if that's tonight? It takes the presence of Jesus to germinate the seed. Does that make sense? Are y'all with me? So the things that he's placed in your life, the words that have been spoken into you, the things that have been sown into you, the way you activate it and the way it grows in your life is by being what he said earlier, Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, we give Martha too bad of a rap. It's good to do things and serve. But Jesus said about Mary, she has chosen the good part. This is the one thing needed, to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. Because then you'll learn how to serve without it being at the cost of you. Does that make sense? The presence of Jesus empowers you to serve and to do the works of the gospel without you burning out. Because then you're living from love and you're not doing it for all these mixed agendas and motives and making you feel good because somebody said an amen to your sermon. Is this okay? Are y'all getting what I'm saying? It's making sense. So at the end of this, Jesus said, hey, this is all that's going to happen. I'm going to send you Holy Spirit, and he's going to empower you. He's going to show you things. And then he closes in John 17. He says, this is what the scripture says. It says, this is what Jesus prayed as he looked up into heaven. So after he shared what he needed to share with his disciples, he looked up to his Father, and he says, this, Father, the time has come. Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son, so that I will magnify your glory. This is the Passion Translation. My preaching Bible's at home. I had to improvise. So that I will magnify your glory. You have already given me authority over all people, so that I may give the gift of eternal life to all those that you've given to me. Eternal life means to, and he qualifies what eternal life is right here in verse 3. Pay attention to this. Eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God, and to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son whom you have sent. Now the translation says, this is eternal life, that you may know him, the only true God, and his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And that word know in the Greek is the word gnosko. And it's the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew word in the Old Testament where Adam knew Eve, yada. He yadaed Eve. So it implies an intimate experiential union with Christ. Does this make sense? So he's saying life, kingdom expression, kingdom manifestation, the way to destiny is to be with me. The way to destiny is to come away with me. The way to destiny is to come into the secret place where no one's looking at your prayers. No one's looking at what you're praying. No one's congratulating you for taking the 10 minutes to say thank you, Jesus, for something. Where you are there paying the price of the secret place. Where you're laying down your life in prayer. Going after God because you know there's more. How many of y'all know there's more than what we have now? There's always more of him. How many of y'all want more? And this scripture, this understanding wrecked my life when I realized that I could be intimate with God. I can know and hear his voice now. I can see things change in my life. I can see my family changed. I can see my city changed. I can see all these things changed by simply laying down my life for him, by being alone with him. That's it. Because in Acts 4:13, let's just go there. I want to talk about now some of the fruits of that place of intimacy and knowing Jesus and spending time with the Father. And the only way to do that unfettered without guilt, shame, and condemnation is that what Mike just said and set up is to be a son or daughter. Know that you're forgiven. Know that you're loved. Know that you're clean by the blood of the Lamb. And that frees you to come with boldness before the throne of grace and spend time with your Father. That's a key point to that. Now, Acts 4:13. Is this blessing somebody? Okay, Acts 4:13. Now, by this time, the disciples are out ministering the gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, and they're causing an uproar in Jerusalem. And they're not liking what they're doing. And they had, so basically, I'm going to actually just back up to Peter 8, and I'm just going to, they were basically on trial. They were arrested for doing what they're doing. And the religious leaders, the religious spirit of the day didn't like it very much. So they like to put people who were of the spirit on trial. And I feel to pray something right now because I feel like some of you have been experiencing persecution for things that you've stepped into in this realm, and I just want to pray for you. So just lift your hands to heaven for a second. Father, you have said this, where are your accusers? And we just declare that we will stand firm and bold and we will say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God, I just thank you for comforting those that need to be comforted, comforting those that have gone through trials that I feel like family has is started to move away from you because they don't understand or they ain't tracking with where you're going. But I feel like God is going to use your life. Do not be discouraged. This is for somebody. Do not be discouraged because what the enemy meant for evil against your life, he's going to turn around for his glory. And that same family member is going to see your life because right now they're backing away because of conviction. They're backing away because they don't understand, but at the same time, there's something resonating in their soul and they don't understand what's going on in your life. But I hear the Lord saying he's going to take that seed of what you're doing, even though it is hard for a season, even though it's painful for a season, God is going to turn all that around and cause that person to come into him. So I feel like be encouraged and keep going. Amen? Amen. So Acts chapter 4, I'm going to back up to verse 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he's on trial, answered, respected elders and leaders of the people, listen. Are we being put on trial today for doing an act of kindness by healing a frail, crippled man? Let me give you a point here. We've had a lot of people say, well, God doesn't heal today. God doesn't do that. You know, look at this scripture, that scripture. And I'm like, well, look at the rest of the Bible too. And this isn't like, you know, this isn't picking a fight, just being honest. And what's funny is because we're going after healing, we've seen a lot. And the same person that was going against healing and saying why it's not for today is the same person that calls when they need something healed. The moment they hit a trial, they let go of the things that don't work. Does this make sense? When you actually come up against a trial, you'll find out what's true or not. And that's why Peter was saying to the disciples when they were scattered because of persecution, he was saying, be encouraged because right now faith is being perfected inside of you and it's being found and worked out as precious gold before the Lord because trials, the purifying fire and flame of God, will try and test truth and prove what's true. So the reason I say that is even though the accusation, persecution comes, time will tell what's true because let God be found true and every man a liar. So I just feel to encourage somebody, say, hold on to what you believe. Go on, because you're seeing the fruit. Keep going after it, and the accusations will fall, because God will bring forth and declare the victory of his son through the cross in the area of healing. I feel something on that for somebody. Does that make sense? Okay, so back to what I was saying. Respected elders and leaders of the people, listen. Are we being put on trial today for doing an act of kindness by healing a frail, crippled man? Well then, you and everyone else in Israel should know that it is by the power of the name of Jesus that the crippled man stands here today completely healed. You crucified Jesus Christ of Nazareth, but God raised him from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that you, the builders, have rejected. And now he has become the cornerstone. There is no one else who has the power to save us, for there's only one name to whom God has given authority by which we must experience salvation. the name of Jesus. Say amen. 13, the council members were astonished, listen to this, as they witnessed the bold courage of Peter and John, especially when they discovered that they were just ordinary men who had never had religious training. Listen to this next part. Then they began to understand the effect Jesus had on them simply by spending time with him. That's in the Word of God. Surrender to what God says. That place what I was talking about back in my encounter in 2017, it was a point of surrender to who God was and what this really said. And from that moment on, it caused me to begin to go into the manifestation of all that was in here. And as I surrendered, he began to show me his love as a father. He began to show me who I was as a son. And then he began to take me deeper in understanding that I'm meant for more in this life now, that I was born for significance, that if I'm alive on this earth, I have a purpose and a destiny and a calling. And my highest calling is to be with him and to look like him with him in every situation. That's revival. Amen? That's the mantle of revival. The mantle of revival is pure sonship. Does this make sense? Yeah, amen. Somebody's getting it. But through that place of understanding, through that place of sonship, I realized that, man, because there's deeper realms of intimacy. Then he started to show me that place of intimacy, like Mary, like the bride and the bridegroom, that this great place of union, this great place of covenant, this deep place where my life becomes his life, where I've traded my life for his. Because did you know the purest definition of covenant is all that I have is yours, all that you have is mine. Because you'll notice after Jesus raised from the dead, you can read it all through the letters. Anytime Paul talked about Jesus, he then said, and you. Right after. Why? Because Jesus doesn't see you apart from him. You and him are one. Amen? Does this make sense? He said, yeah, Jesus is ascended above all rulers, powers, and principalities, and you are seated at the right hand of Christ. He said, because who he is, now we are in this world. And we access all of this through one place, dying to ourselves, and getting in the secret place so that he can form us and fashion us into what he's called us to be. And that is the highest calling is as a son or daughter. And it's in that place you'll do the works of a son or daughter. You'll do the works that Jesus did. You'll see blind eyes open. You'll see deaf ears healed. You'll see people come to know the Lord. Why? Because you're simply being a son. You're simply being the righteous tree that Isaiah testifies you are through Christ. Does this make sense? It says, we are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. So you've been planted and rooted and grounded in love. And you are a righteous and holy tree. And guess what? A tree doesn't strain to bear fruit. When it realizes that it is an apple tree, it just bears apples. It's not, the apple tree knows it's an apple tree. You know, if it's confused about its identity as an apple tree, you know, it's like, I hope there's an apple that comes out of there. I think I'm an apple tree. Let's see if an apple comes out, you know. And sometimes we get like that in our Christian lives. I hope I'm a Christian. I got to work and try to be holy. I got to work and try to see things change in my life. When actually God is testifying that if you'll just see the way I see you through my son, you'll see holiness all your life, because then you'll realize as you yield yourself to what I said about you, as you yield yourself to righteousness, he who knew no sin became sin, so that we could become, not do, become the righteousness of God. And as we become the righteousness of God, we see holy fruit all over our lives. And if there's a fruit that doesn't belong, that's not allowed to be there because he said, I'm righteous. If there's a little sin, little hidden thing here, you say, God, no, this is not according to my created value. This is not what you say I am. And I say, no, Lord, this is not who I am. And you separate yourself from that. And guess what? By faith, you're agreeing with what he said, who you are. And grace comes and fashions you into that truth. You are one surrender point away from total freedom. So if there's something in your life that is hindering you from understanding, hindering you from being who you thought, what you see is testimony. When I was talking about earlier, when you look in this and it judges you. Well, the key to that is one thing, shame, guilt, and condemnation are never of God. I promise you that. Because condemnation says you're worthy to be judged. Shame says it's still you. See, it's an idea. I know a lot of y'all understand deliverance, and y'all going after that, right? Well, let me give you a cool point. The foundation of all warfare, all spiritual warfare, is identity. Because if he can get you to not see who you are, he'll keep you from manifesting who you are. So it's a fight of faith. It's a fight to believe. It's a fight to see him the way that he sees you. And let every other opinion, let every other thought, let everything else go. And then in that place, you be with him and watch him transform your life. Watch him make you a living beacon of revival. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love to him looks like obedience. And in obedience, you grab hold of what he said about you. Not because, oh, I got to do my obligation as a Christian. No, I love you, Jesus. I want to see all that you paid for. Why? Because of the integrity of the cross. Because the integrity that he died for us. Because the integrity that he laid down his life to purchase his church so that we can then become all that we were that and lost through sin. So that John the Baptist said about Jesus, is this all right? Am I okay right now? Are y'all good? John the Baptist said about Jesus, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He took away your sin through the blood, and then he gave you grace to empower you to become all that you're created to be. I don't know why I feel to keep hitting this point. But that is the gateway to revival. That's the gateway of seeing transformation around here. Why? Because what did Jesus say on the cross to the people that nailed him there? Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. So the people in this region, the people in Baldwin City that are living in sin, you don't got to sit there and judge them and condemn them for their sin. I guarantee you, they already know they're messed up. What they're waiting on is someone who loves them enough to look past the muck and the mire and to see their identity, to see their created value. You will change this city when you grab hold of his heart for the people of this region. And you know where it starts? Right here. Because it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others as you love your... In this hangs all the law and the prophets. So what he's saying is you can't love others as you love until you love yourself and you see yourself the way I see you, because then you'll see others the same way, because you understand we're all created in his image. Amen? Amen. And that is eternal life. It's knowing the Father. And in that place, he will mantle your life with his power to demonstrate his love. The place of encounter is a place of discovering him, of discovering you, and discovering his heart for others. Amen? Amen. Because I think Justin told me y'all are beginning to learn and experience a lot in the spiritual gifts. Well, as y'all know, the spiritual gifts, they are activated by faith. But Galatians 5 says faith works through love. So everything God says and does is through his nature is love. Amen? Amen. So all I feel to do right now, I'm going to wrap up. Actually, no, I'm not. He said, no, you're not. Go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it good to be yielded? I wouldn't know what I'm doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I don't know about y'all, but I feel encouraged. I didn't realize I just did that. Sorry. Inside joke. Actually, y'all might know that one. Slam to the ground, Randy goes, I'm getting encouraged. They have not let that one go. Probably never will. All right. What in the world? Why can I not find... There it is. 2 Corinthians 3. Somebody loves Jesus like I love him. Say, I love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Let's see here. Where do I want to start at? Verse 18. Okay. So we can all draw. Let's just lift your hands and just open your hearts to the Lord right now as I read this. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our face, the veil of sin consciousness, the veil of condemnation, shame, and guilt. We can all draw close to him. And with no veil, with nothing in between us, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You put your hands down. And guess where that Spirit lives? Somebody tell me. In me. So guess what? You have eternal life. You have eternity inside of you, waiting on you to grab hold of it with your yes. Waiting on you to let go of everything that tells you otherwise, that tells you why you can't, that all these questions, just let it go. And just say yes. Are y'all with me? And I promise you, as you say your vows in that moment to the Lord, and you say yes on that, in that beautiful covenantal exchange, He's going to marry you, and He's going to give you all that He has, and you'll be able to access your inheritance through the love that He's purchased for you to experience in Him. And He's going to transform your life. He's going to make you who He created to be. And you're going to see destiny all over your life. You're going to find that in every moment of your day, everything you do, there's purpose and there's potential. Surrender is the gateway to a life of significance. Because then you're no longer striving to be something. You just are what He says. You see what I mean? You don't have to try to be a son. You are a son. Why? Because He said. Amen? Amen? Amen. So let's just begin to thank the Lord for that. Logan, can I have you on the piano for a second? I'm going to move this off. And I just really sense in my spirit that I just want to respond to this for a moment. And then in this place, the reason I started this, the reason we're preaching and we're doing this is that we have to understand why He came. Why is the Holy Spirit going to come? Why are we trying to have an encounter night? Why are we trying to have an encounter? What is it for? You see what I mean? It's to see transformation. It's to see your life change. It's to see your city changed. It's to see the world come to know the one who is worthy, the one who gave it all, and the one who has endowed His church with power to be a witness of His resurrection, and to see the kingdom of God come and deliver and heal and set free and make new and make whole and destroy the works of the devil. That's why the encounter comes. You, as a son or daughter, has the privilege to destroy hell and bring heaven to earth. You are. You. Not me. Yes, me. But not just me. Not just Justin. All of us, as the body of Christ, are the gateway, is the gateway of heaven to earth. And you know where heaven comes to earth? I love you, Jesus. Yielding and saying, God, I'm yours.